This new year, why not let Audible expand your life by listening? Explore over 1 million audiobooks, podcasts, and exclusive Audible originals that'll inspire and motivate you. Tap into your well-being with advice and insight from leading professionals and experts on better health, relationships, career, finance, investing, and more. Maybe you want to kick a bad habit or start a good one. If you're interested in learning how to master your emotions and hearing scientifically backed advice for using your emotions as a tool, may I suggest Shift by psychologist and bestseller author Dr. Ethan Cross? Trust me, listening on Audible can help you reach the goals you set for yourself. Start listening today when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.com/Wondery. That's audible.com/Wondery.
Get quality branded apparel from Lands' End Outfitters. Visit business.landsend.com/unite and use code UNITE for 20% off, plus free logo setup. That's business.landsend.com/unite. Code UNITE.
The British are coming. A cold spring night. A lone rider. And a warning. The rider pushed through the darkness of the night, alerting people of the imminent danger that was about to hit them, and stirring them to action just as the colonies were about to fight for independence. This rider was Paul Revere, a folk hero of the American Revolution, but also the founding father of propaganda. Welcome back, friend, to Hometown History. And in today's episode, we will see how Paul's ability as a craftsman stoked the fires of the American Revolution. Paul Revere was born on January 1st, 1735, in Boston, Massachusetts, which was part of the British Massachusetts Bay Colony at the time. His mother, Deborah Hitchborn, was a native whose family owned and operated several docks in the Boston Harbor, which were crucial for trade and commerce, playing a significant role in the city's economy. On the other hand, Paul's father, Apollos Revoir, was a French immigrant who later changed his name to Paul Revere, to better fit into English-speaking society. I'm going to continue to call him Apollos throughout the episode. Apollos was a skilled silversmith, and like many immigrants of the time, he brought his trade with him to America. He had dreams, and he worked hard to achieve his place. He opened a silver shop in Boston, where he would craft beautiful and intricate pieces of silverware. Paul grew up in a pretty busy and industrious household, always seeing hard work around him. This would later shape his own persistence and determination towards a goal, which are things he is remembered for today. At the age of 6, he began his education in Boston, attending school where he received a basic education. But early on, he realized that formal education was not his primary focus. So by the time he was 13, he left school to apprentice under his father, learning the trade of a silversmith. Now, the life of an apprentice silversmith proved to be more demanding than he expected. Paul started with simple tasks, like creating plain plates and bowls. As he improved his skills, he moved on to more complex items, like cups, mugs, and eventually, cutlery and jewelry. The final stage of his training was engraving silver into unique and beautiful works of art. And he performed like a professional. Under his father's guidance, Paul became an extremely talented silversmith of his time, making both his parents proud. Especially his father, an immigrant who could see that his son was capable enough to establish a good career and make something good out of himself in the land of opportunity. Their relationship had a strong influence on Paul's life. So in 1754, when his father died, Paul was devastated and left handling the home by himself. With the death of his father, the Revere family was left without their main source of income. The silver shop, which had been the family's livelihood so far, could not stay open without its owner, even though Paul was a good worker. So to keep the business running, the Revere family partnered with one of Apollo's former apprentices. Then in 1756, 2 years after his father's death, Paul decided to join the military. This was during the French and Indian War, also known as the Seven Years' War in Europe. Soon after he joined, Paul's knowledge of metallurgy, which he gained from his silversmith training, earned him a promotion to second lieutenant in an artillery regiment. But military life was not easy for Paul. The harsh conditions and consistent threats of battle were a completely different thing compared to the silversmith shop in Boston where he worked. So although he served with distinction, it became clear to him that a military career was not his calling after all. With that, after a year of service, Paul retired from the army in 1757. Upon returning to civilian life, Paul married Sarah Orne, a woman from a well-known Boston family. Together, they started a family that would eventually grow to include 16 children. With that cemented, Paul settled into his role as a husband and father. He also took over the family business, becoming a master silversmith and head of the Revere household. Life was comfortable, Paul was happy, and for a while, he just got to focus on family and work without worrying about much else. A dream for any man. He even became an important part of the Boston community, building a reputation as a reliable and trustworthy guy. But nothing good lasts forever, right? By 1763, the French and Indian War had ended, leading to major changes in British policies toward the American colonies. The British government was now in debt from the war and wanted to raise revenue by imposing new taxes on the colonies. One of the first of these taxes was the infamous Stamp Act of 1765. The Stamp Act required that all printed materials in the colonies be produced on stamped paper from London, which obviously carried an additional tax. Now, the Stamp Act was a big problem for Paul Revere and his family. With their involvement in Boston Harbor's shipping industry, they were affected by this tax quite a bit. This act not only increased the cost of doing business, but also represented a new level of control the British government was exerting over the colonies. And that angered many Bostonians, including Paul Revere. As this anti-British sentiment grew, Paul saw many of his fellow Bostonians join the Sons of Liberty, a group dedicated to resisting British rule. The Sons of Liberty were known for their public demonstrations and acts of civil disobedience, protesting the various taxes and regulations imposed by the British government. Paul joined their ranks and became an active member, meeting influential figures like John Adams and John Hancock. Samuel Adams, a cousin of John Adams, became the accepted leader of the Sons of Liberty, even though he was never officially given that title. His public speaking skills and ability to influence public opinion also made him a key figure in the resistance movement. But Adams knew that words alone were not enough. The movement needed visual propaganda to spread its message and rally support. And this is where Paul Revere's skills as a silversmith and his good reputation came into play. Paul started making engravings and drawings that depicted British tyranny and called for action from the colonists. These works were distributed widely, helping to spread the revolutionary message far beyond Boston. Some of Paul's notable works included images of American colonists being poisoned by the British, British warships in Boston Harbor, and scenes of colonial resistance. His engravings were powerful tools in spreading the revolutionary message and uniting colonists against their common enemy. It was a kind of peaceful protest, and he was only trying to awaken people to the reality of British oppression. Of course, things didn't stay peaceful for long. In 1770, tensions between the British and the colonists turned violent. An argument between British soldiers and Boston citizens turned into a deadly riot, which is now known as the Boston Massacre. British soldiers fired into a crowd of unarmed colonists and ended up killing 5 and injured several others. This event became a rallying point for the movement against the British, and Paul Revere knew it was crucial that everyone knew what had happened. He quickly created an engraving of the Boston Massacre, showing the British soldiers as ruthless aggressors. Not that people didn't know the British were oppressive, but after this incident, it stoked a fire in them. After this, from 1773 to 1775, Paul made several trips between Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, spreading news and gathering support for the cause. And these attempts were crucial in keeping the colonies united and informed. And then came the Midnight Ride.
At Lands' End Outfitters, they've been outfitting partnerships designed for impact for over 30 years. They deliver more than just uniforms. Their branded apparel provides comfort, durability, and customization that unite your team and ignite your brand. Whether you need to outfit a small team or thousands, they've got you covered. From expert guidance to seamless setup and ordering, they make the process simple and stress-free, so you can focus on what matters most. And with state-of-the-art custom embroidery and dedicated support from their award-winning Lands' End service team, your brand is in the best hands. Ready to elevate your brand? Visit business.landsend.com/unite and use promo code UNITE for 20% off your order plus free logo setup, a $29 savings. That's business.landsend.com/unite, promo code UNITE.
In April 1775, British troops planned to seize colonial gunpowder stored in Concord, Massachusetts. Paul Revere, along with William Dawes, was tasked with alerting his community. So Paul arranged for lanterns to be hung in the steeple of the Old North Church. One, if the British were coming by land, and two, if by sea. Then, on the night of April 18th, 1775, Paul and Dawes set out on their famous ride. Paul knocked on doors and alerted key informants who spread the word. This allowed the community to prepare for the battles of Lexington and Concord, the battles that marked the beginning of the American Revolution. As we know, Paul was not one to fight physically. He knew that from his time in the military. But that did not stop him from participating in the cause. He continued his work as a carrier and propagandist. Later, in June 1775, the Battle of Bunker Hill took place, and it was a fierce one. During this, Paul's close friend, General Joseph Warren, was killed, and it was a major loss for the cause. In honor of his fallen friend, Paul created another engraving showing the British attack on Charlestown and the destruction caused by the battle. Through his works, he continued to inspire and rally the Americans against the British to the very end. In 1783, after the Revolution ended, Paul Revere turned his attention back to his business, becoming a successful industrialist and even expanding his work beyond silver to include cast iron and other metals. As his business grew, he realized things would go faster if he had a standardized manufacturing process. It would also help with reducing costs and increasing efficiency. So he made identical molds for casting mass-produced items like stoves, ovens, window frames, and fireplace backs, allowing for more consistent and cost-effective production. In 1801, Revere opened North America's first copper rolling mill, producing rolled copper sheets essential for standardized products like shipbuilding bolts and naval ship sheathing. His foundry work combined tools and machines, requiring skilled labor, but ensuring consistent output through standardized practices. We can't say all products were always 100% identical to each other, because the technology was still limited. But his systematic production methods laid the foundation for future industrial standardization. His efforts in standardizing manufacturing processes placed him at the forefront of America's early industrialization, helping transition the economy from a craft-based system to a more industrialized one. Seeing his business thrive, he tried to take a step back and get into politics for a while, possibly to relive his glory days during the Revolution. But he quickly realized it wasn't for him, and he returned to commerce and craftsmanship. He lived a long and prosperous life and passed away on May 10th, 1818, at the age of 83. He was buried in the Granary Burying Ground in Boston, a city he served and loved throughout his life. For many years after his death, Paul Revere was largely forgotten by the general public. It wasn't until 1860 when poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote Paul Revere's Ride that his name became famous again. Now, some people believe that Longfellow's poem romanticized the Midnight Ride, and the real story was different. But does that matter? Even if the Midnight Ride was not as dramatic as the poem suggests, it was a crucial moment in the struggle for freedom. And that is what Paul Revere should be remembered for: his bravery, his dedication, and his ability to inspire through his art. That's all for today's episode. Thank you for joining me. Be sure to follow along for more intriguing stories from the past.
Lands' End Outfitters has been crafting branded apparel for over 30 years. Whether you're outfitting a small team or thousands, you're covered with seamless setup and ordering. And with state-of-the-art embroidery and award-winning service, your brand is in the best hands. Visit business.landsend.com/unite and use code UNITE for 20% off, plus free logo setup, a $29 savings. That's business.landsend.com/unite, promo code UNITE.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.